following message was recorded live from Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in Central Alberta, Canada.
Well, good morning. It's great to see you all here this morning. We've been looking at the book of Romans really quick in just a couple weeks, which is kind of insane, just to be honest. The book of Romans is one of the hardest ones to read through, and I'm going to try to tackle like chapters 6 to 8 today in a real high level and just skim across. So if you ever spent time in Romans, you'll understand that that's not an easy thing to do. So I'm just hoping, we'll have to pray that God's Spirit basically teaches us what He wants us to hear today. And anything else just kind of falls away. I don't know if you've ever drank from a fire hose before, but we'll try not to make it like that experience. But it could be. So let's pray against that. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for your presence, how you're just so faithful. We come here and we just are promised and guaranteed to meet you. We just fall before you today. And thank you for the worship and just being able to be in this place to offer up our praises to your name. You're so worthy. I thank you for teaching us from your word today. We just look forward to what you're going to do in our hearts and our minds. And we ask that you would teach us something from your word today that would change and transform the way that we see ourselves and the way that we relate to you. That we wouldn't walk away being in the same frame of mind as when we showed up today. We look forward to what you're going to do. We ask these things in your son's name, Jesus. Amen. Well, last week we just started talking about this whole idea of new identity and what does it mean to have a new identity. And we looked at that in Romans. Paul talked about when we identify with Christ, and the primary way he would say that when we do that, when we're baptized with him, we nail ourselves to his cross. In other words, we're under condemnation, that when we are actually born into a sin nature. And it wasn't that Jesus came along so that we could learn how to be better people, even though hopefully we follow Jesus, you know, and we apply his principles, we will become better people. But that fundamentally wasn't just it. And he didn't just die because we committed some stuff, we made mistakes and we did some things wrong. He actually had to die for us because we were born under condemnation. We were born as an enemy of God, and really the death sentence was on our forehead. And so he took our place on the cross to free us from that penalty of death that was coming. And then not only did he free us from the penalty, he actually gave us new life. And he breathed into us life. And we are, in a sense, born again from his Spirit. Inside of us, he deposited his Spirit inside of us to defeat sin in our lives, to empower us to live righteously. In other words, so to live out everything that he has in store for us. So we've looked at that. If you missed that, I'd love for you to go back and catch that and then come back to today again. Because sometimes when we know that is true, we've heard that before. And so last week we said, we need you just to focus for a week on Romans chapter 6, verse 11. All week I wanted you to just think about, so now, right, because of what Christ has done, you need to consider, you need to bank on, you need to believe it, you need to trust that you are dead to the power of sin. And now, not only you're dead to the power of sin, you are alive to God through Christ Jesus. And even if we don't feel like it, that is truth today. So we want to talk of now, how do we live out of that truth? How do we now walk every day, that being a reality, that being our new identity, our new self? No longer do we live, no longer are we in bondage to sin, no longer is sin our master. How do we then follow him? Inside, a lot of you, if you're like me, when you've heard this kind of talk before, you're already pushing back and you're saying, yeah, but when I live my life, I've accepted what Christ did on the cross, I was baptized, I filled out the card, I raised my hand, I came forward, I did it 15 times, 16 times, I did it every week for 4 years. Something is still wrong with me. Because even though you keep saying this, sin seems to be alive and well. And I keep going through this crazy cycle. I come to church and I hear this stuff and I get excited on the inside and I go, yes, yes, that's what I want. I want victory. I want to follow Jesus. I want to live right. I want to do the right thing. But man, every day after that day, I just fail miserably, and I come back and go, yes, again. And so we go in this crazy cycle, and I wrote down my crazy cycle and what it's looked like in my life before, and it's on the screen for you. I come to something like this, I hear Pastor Dan, and I say, okay, I just need to try harder to be good this week. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try harder. And I go out the door and I'm committed to try harder. And it seems like the very time I try harder, the very time I make a decision, I don't want to do that anymore. It's like it comes right into my face. And all of a sudden, the desire of that very thing almost awakens in me. It like becomes more powerful than it was before. It's like the diet thing I said. The minute you say you're not going to eat that food anymore, it's like it becomes alive. And you smell it everywhere. And you see it everywhere, and every sign you pass is just screaming out, it's okay, just come back to me. Eat me, I'm good. You'll enjoy it. Remember the good stuff. You don't really need to be on a diet. That's die with a T. That's just bad idea. And so we cave, and we do this with sin. We're like, you know what? I'm missing out. It wasn't that bad. I mean, I'm sure I can kind of, can I just taste here and there and do a little bit of that and, you know, everyone else is kind of like that too, right? We're all in it, and you know what? Forget it. God's holding out on me. I know what God wants, but I really want this today. I just want to go that way. I know what God wants, but, you know, that's for like the super people. That's for like the missionaries and the pastors. And so those are super people. And so we take time off. We say, you know what? Today I'm taking time off. Tonight I'm taking time off. This weekend, I'm taking a break. On this trip, I'm taking a break. I'm gonna indulge. I'm gonna go back to that. And we do this in our diets too, right? I'm just gonna take time off and take a break. There's a lot of work over there, and that's how we feel the Christian life is. There's just so much work. I know what God wants, but I really want this, and that's really hard, God. And it's a little bit over the top. So I'm just gonna play back and forth. But as soon as we do that, what happens? Man, I feel bad. Feel sick. Feel, man, it's not what I wanted. We come back and we say, it's not the life I want. I want to please God. I want to do what's right. I want to leave a history of righteousness. I want people to see. I want people to follow my footsteps. I don't want to live this. And we're torn, and we come back and say, I'm going to try harder. And we go around and we go around. So if you're anything like me, what actually is behind it all? And no one of you are going to raise your hand and admit you think this way, but it's kind of where it sits is this. When I'm good, man, I look over there sometimes and I think, man, I wish I was bad. Man, they look like they're having so much fun over there. I'm good, I wish I was bad, but when I'm bad, man, do I wish I was good. When I cave and when I go there, I just wish I didn't do that. I wish I was good, I wish I was better, I wish I had integrity, I want it. The question to you today is going to be, the whole day is this one question. Which one is the real you? Paul's going to say to you today, one of those isn't you. One of those feelings, one of those internal drives is not you. So which one is the real you? In fact, Paul shares our struggle. And so I want you to read this with me, although it's a little confusing. Romans chapter 7 is like when Paul goes nuts. And you realize, you think, has he got issues, mental health concerns? So you read this, chapter 7, he says this, I really don't understand myself. Now I can identify right off the bat with that. I don't get myself. He says, I don't get myself. For I want to do what is right. I want these things. But I don't do it. I know it's right. I don't do it. Instead, I do what is wrong. So he says, for I want to do what is right, but I do not do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know, listen, if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, so if I go over here and I take that time off, right, I indulge that sin nature, and if I know that that's wrong, this shows that something inside of me actually agrees what God wants is good. He's saying the evidence of the cycle, and this is going to seem a little counterintuitive, the evidence that you're going through that crazy cycle shows this, that there is something inside of you, which is God's Spirit, according to Paul, alive in you, that is telling you that that's not good. The good news is there's something else inside of me. Not just I'm waging war with sin, but I also have God's Spirit in me, because if I go and I do it, I don't feel good anymore. And that's the kind of the news that it's like the fine print they don't tell you when you become a Christian. You can't enjoy sin anymore. Oh, you can do it. You just aren't going to enjoy it. I mean, you might enjoy it for a minute or two, but the aftermath is horrible. Paul's saying, so if that's happening inside of you, that proves something. It proves that there's something inside of me that agrees with God. And guess what the Bible says? There's nothing in of your sinful nature born in you that actually agrees with God. If you agree with God, something is good. He says that is Christ in you. That is your new nature. That is your new identity. So he says, it's not me. I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that wants to do this. So now you're going to be like, oh, well, this is great news. Now I just blame sin. That's awesome. I can do whatever I want. Well, that wasn't me. That was sin. It's kind of what he sounds like he's saying, but we're going to go on. We're going to fix it. But he continues and he says, and I know that nothing good lives in me. And he has to pause here because last week we just looked at all those passages of scriptures and he says, no, your new identity is righteousness. It is good. So he's saying, I know that nothing in of my body, nothing of my flesh, nothing of my old self that I am stuck in. Now I'm stuck in this body. Paul separates them and says, nothing in that is actually good. It's my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do wrong, but I do it anyway. But, he says, goes back to the same point, but if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing the wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. This is where we all just close the book on Romans and go, don't get it. He ends with, on verse 24 of Romans, he says, what a wretched man I am. Or am I gone loony? Or a better way to paraphrase, am I messed up or what? And isn't this how we feel, that we sit there and we go, that's exactly how I feel. I feel completely messed up. I want to do what's right. I walk out the door and I don't do it. I can't believe it. I agree with what God says. I agree that this is the way to live. And yet I walk out the door and I don't even do it. What is going on inside of me? What is happening to me? Did it not take? Do I need to get dunked again? Did they really scrub? Like, should they have pushed me three times? Like, do they know what they're doing there? Paul says, no, this is not the case. That's not what's going on. For Paul, you have to understand, he believes this. The Spirit of God has been placed in us. It's a deposit of everything that is to come. But in the meantime, we are stuck. We are stuck in this world. We are stuck with all this temptation around us. We are stuck with sin. We are stuck with even the old body, the old way we used to think. It's still in your brain. Your body still wants to function like it used to, the old way you used to live. A lot of people would say that war that we struggle, feel back and forth, maybe that's the devil, that's the evil one, that's demonic. Paul doesn't talk that way, but I don't think that would be a stretch. I don't think he's saying it isn't the devil, but he names it sin. He says that's sin at in work at me. It's sin at war against me. And here's the news you need to know, even though you don't want to know it. You are never going to mature beyond this battle until you get to heaven and this old body finally dies. And it's completed work. The body is gone. Sin is dead. It's been dealt with. Finished completely in this body as well, and I live a new life. It is why Paul says, I long for that day. I long to be free, completely free from this body, because it pulls me in all different kinds of directions. I'm at war, it feels like, with myself. But here's what he needs you to understand today. It's not really you. And this is where the tension comes in, and this is where the confusion comes in. And so we want to walk through that. What is it? How does this actually work? So in Romans chapter 6, he says this, Therefore, since you are a new creation, since you have Christ's life in you, since you accepted him, therefore, You get to choose. Now this is where it comes in. You have freedom now to choose. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. I thought it was defeated already. Yeah, it's defeated. And you are free now to choose. You can choose not to let it reign in your mortal body so that you obey all of its desires. Your mortal body still has all kinds of desires. It has all kinds of memories. It floods your system with all kinds of passions and desires. You remember something and you feel a certain way. You smell something and you feel a certain way. You see something and you feel a certain way. That's your mortal body, and it's full of these old desires. He says, don't let your body reign. Don't let it grab the reins of your life. Do not offer your body or any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. He needs us to see that sin is now not who I am anymore. But sin is actually over here, and I'm here. And he says, you have a choice. You can either let sin dictate what you're going to live like, or you can choose the opposite. You can now choose to offer yourselves to God as those that have been brought from death to this new life. Before, you didn't have a choice. See, that's the harsh part of what Paul starts with. He says, all fall short of the glory of God. All are under God's wrath. Everyone's in the same boat. They don't have a hope till Jesus Christ comes in and gives them life. And he gives us freedom now to choose. Do I offer parts of my body to wickedness, the way I used to live, my flesh, my desires? Or I can choose to offer myself to God as those should who have been brought from this death over to life. So he says, offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument, him in you, Christ in you, as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master. Well, I thought it wasn't my master. Well, that's what you said last week, and that's what Paul said earlier. What does it mean? What he's going to say to us, what he's saying to us, is in practicality, your master isn't one who has authority. Your master is whoever you choose to listen to. And so we want to move on and we want to look at that. In other words, we need to learn to get a little bit loopy like Paul. We need to learn to start saying, wait a second, if I want to do what is right, and there's another part of me who wants to do what is wrong, the real me, if Christ is in me, is that wants to do right. The other part that keeps saying, you know what, offer yourself. You know what, use your eyes for this. You know what, use your mouth for this. Go here, walk that direction. That part to do unrighteousness, that part is not you. The real you with Christ in you is the one that longs to do what is right. And yet sin is at work all the time, trying to bring you back, trying to bring you back to the way you used to live. A big piece of it is simply the way our bodies work. It's our memories. Your body automatically starts to say, oh, I know what we do now. When this happens, we do this, and sin says, hey, can I borrow your mouth for a second? I know what you're supposed to say now. Paul says you have a choice. You can choose to say, all right, you can have my mouth, sin. Go ahead and say what you want to say. Blah. And then we walk away and go, oh, why did I do that? Paul says, that wasn't you. That was sin using you to do unrighteousness. You're going to go on a trip, guys, and sin says, hey, we know what we do on the trip. Can I use your eyes on this trip? Can I do that? Can I use your eyes over here? Can I use your feet? Can I use your hands? I have a choice. Do I let sin take control? Do I say, okay, you can? And then I come back and I go, oh, what did I do? Why did I do that? We have a choice. We can offer ourselves back to sin, or we can offer ourselves to righteousness. The desire to do wrong, the desire to sin is not you. It is the war that you wage. You can call it the evil one. You can call it the flesh. You can call it your old life. You can call it your sin nature. But it is a part of you. And you will not outgrow it. So you need to learn to choose. Who is now my master? I am free to choose the way that I live. Well, let's see what he says in Romans chapter 6. Maybe you're wondering if I'm crazy. Romans chapter 6 says, so since God's grace has set us free, does that mean that we just live like anyone else? Does that mean we keep living like this old self? Does that mean we keep living like nothing changed? So we got baptized, we raised our hand, came forward, prayed the prayer. Does that mean now we just keep living the way we used to? It says, by no means. Don't you realize? Don't you know? See, Paul always says this. It's an amazing, powerful thing that I just recently started figuring out. Paul doesn't say, oh, if you think that way, it didn't work. That's what Satan tries to tell me all the time. Oh, you think that way, it didn't count. There's no new life in you. He doesn't say that. He says, if you think that way, if you think you can keep sinning, don't you realize something? Don't you understand something? Something is wrong in what you believe in. Something is wrong in what you trust in. He says, does that mean that we keep sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become a slave of whatever you choose to obey? Whatever you choose to obey, you become a slave of. He says, you can choose to be a slave of sin, which is going to lead to death. Whenever there's sin, last week we said there's death. Every time we go and we do sin, there's death. There's death of loved ones. There's death of emotional. There's death of spiritual health. There's death of relationships. When we have chosen to go sin and let sin reign, sin wants to destroy. The devil wants to destroy your life. When we allow it to dictate what we do, death will follow you. It'll destroy everything around you. So you can be a slave to sin, which is going to lead to all kinds of death. Or you can choose to obey God. You couldn't choose before. You were an enemy of God. You were defeated. You were under the power of sin. Christ died and defeated the power of sin. Sin has no power over Christ. Christ is in you. Sin has no power over you. So you can now choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Now you are set free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. The evil one wants you to believe this. God wants me to do that. So I have a choice to do that, or I can choose to do what I want. It's very subtle, but that's all he wants you to think. God wants me to do that, but you, Sean, you want to do this. And the trick is, what he whispers is, so you can be free from what God wants. You can choose to do whatever you like. Paul says, no. Don't you understand? If you listen to that, you're just a slave again. In practicality, not in your identity, not in reality. It's not like you undo what Christ did in you. It's not like a spirit will leave you. It's not like it didn't work or it didn't count. Practically, whoever you choose to obey, whoever you choose to listen to, is your master. And so you can be free from the power of sin, but if you choose to continue to live this way, it is still your master. Or you can offer yourself and you can choose to obey what God wants, and he is your master. You are actually free to choose. In 1865, the Civil War ends. Lincoln abolishes slavery. He gets assassinated. The 13th Amendment was put in place, which abolishes slavery through the United States in December. Only problem was, over 250,000 slaves didn't get to hear about it for several months. They didn't get the word out till June. When the amendment was passed, they were set free. But they continued to function the same way that they always functioned. In law, in reality, they were free to go at any time. But they didn't know it. So they continued to live the way they always used to live. In practicality, they were still slaves. In law, in reality, they were free people. So often in the Christian church, we keep thinking, Christ set me free, but I don't feel any different. I don't think any different. Therefore, sin is still my master. Paul would say, it is not your master. You are free. You're free to choose how you want to live. That was the other thing about some of the slaves. Some of the other slaves, they were told of their freedom, and they didn't know what to do with it. They didn't know how to respond. They didn't have a life before that. They were born into slavery, like us. They were born into it. They didn't know any other way of living. For them to now become free people, they had a complete change way that they view their lives. Some of them couldn't make the change. Some of them just decided to continue to live as if nothing was different and to continue, in a sense, being a slave, even though they were free. For a lot of us, that's kind of how it feels sometimes. We hear it, we know it, we've been set free from sin. There's no power there, we're free to choose, but that's all I know. That's all my body knows what to do. That's how I think. That's when my anger comes out. That's when my lust comes out. That's when my greed comes out. That's when jealousy and envy. This is what I do. When I see this, I get envious. When I see that, I get angry. When I see this, I get lustful. That's just me. That's who I am. Paul said, that's not who you are any longer. But if you choose to allow your body to continuously pull you that way, then in practicality, you're right. It's your master. You choose to obey it. We are free to choose in Christ. I want to, Romans chapter 8, Paul says this, chapter 8, verse 5. Those, and he's not talking about those who aren't believers. Sometimes we interpret this wrong and we want to say, well, these aren't believers, but he's not saying that. Those who are dominated, those who allow the sin nature to dominate them, those who allow the sin nature to pull them wherever it wants, every time there's desire, they just act upon it. Every time they feel like getting angry, they get angry. Every time they want to get lustful, they get lustful. Every time, those who are dominated by the sinful nature, they think about sinful things. That's the problem, is that they think about sinful things, and they're dominated by it, and so they behave that way. That's what happens when you think about those things. But those that are controlled by the Holy Spirit, the other people that allow and let the master be the Holy Spirit, so when the Holy Spirit says go, they go. Those people think about the things that please the Spirit. They meditate on them. They memorize them. They put them in their head. They agree with what the Spirit thinks about, and so they please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind is going to lead to death in your life. You continue, and sometimes we walk over here, I've walked over here, and we play in this world, and we look around and say, there's no death here. This isn't bad. I don't see any death. We kind of look at Adam, and we say, God said he would die, and boy, he's still living, he still looks okay, he's still eating, he's still having, maybe it wasn't so bad. And so Satan convinces of the same thing. But I want you to know, if you continue to follow sin around, if you continue to offer your lips, you continue to offer your eyes, your feet, your mouth, all of that stuff, death will come. Because where there is sin, there is death. Always. So letting the Holy Spirit control your mind will lead the opposite. It leads to life. It leads to peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile towards God. Here's the thing. This is what's really helped me. If it can help you, I want to pass it on. I know I am not identifying with my new nature. We talked about you having a new nature last week. I'm not identifying when I think these thoughts. I know God wants me to do this, but I want to do this. As soon as I have that thought, I'm in opposition. I'm in opposition opposed to what God wants. I've now identified with my old nature. I've identified with my flesh. I've identified with sin. My primary identity and practicality now is back to sin. In reality, I'm free. In reality, sin is not my master. But the minute that I say, God wants me to do that, but I really want to do this, I have placed myself under the mastery of sin. The real you, Paul says, the real you wants to be over here and longs to do the things of God, because that is the Spirit of God in you, and the Spirit resonates with the Spirit. And so you have to choose today, which one is you? The desires will still come. The temptation will still come. Your mind will still be flooded with thoughts. And sin will say, can I borrow your eyes? Can I borrow your hands? Can I borrow your feet? Can I go there? And I have to decide, who is me? I belong. I am Christ in me now. Sin wants me, but cannot have me. I can choose to be obedient to righteousness. Satan wants me to think this. I am still an enemy of God. He wants to defeat your identity. That's why I gave you those lists in your bulletin. That's why I gave you the list. You need to go home and you need to meditate on who you are. Because Satan wants me to believe I'm an enemy of God. God wants me to do that, but I want to do this. No, that's not me anymore. I'm the one who wants to do what God wants. It's me and God, and it's sin over there. So who you identify is who you're going to feel like is your master. If I identify with my sin nature, no, this is me. I'm the one that wants to go do this. Then you're defeated already. And sin is practically, in your daily experience, still in control. Because you're obedient to his desires. I'd love to go into the science of all this. There's a lot of doctors who would probably love me to do that and then correct me when I get it wrong. But basically, your brain, your natural body, has a couple different systems. There's some automatic systems, and then there's some free choice systems. And so there's some things that go on, the desires that stir within you that happen automatically. When you smell, when you see, when you go somewhere, where you hear something, something familiar to your old nature. And it stirs and it comes alive in you and it says, yes, let's do that again. Let's go back there. And you need to say, that is not me anymore. I'm a new person. Sin, you cannot have me. I have a new master. And you have to choose that. That's not easy at first, because you have pathways in your brain that have learned over and over again. When I'm alone on a trip, this is what I do. When my kids draw on walls with crayons, this is how I talk. When my spouse does this, this is what I'm going to do. When this happens, this is what I do. And we get these patterns, and it's actually like little gateways in your brain that actually have worn in. It's like a riverbed that's gone down that path and has made a river in all the ways that you flood your mind with memories and thoughts. And so if Paul says, if you dwell on those thoughts, it's going to drive you that direction. You have to change the way you think. You have to create a new pathway. You have to believe who you are. You have to trust what Christ says about you is actually true, even if you don't feel it. The devil has two roles, and they're very predictable. The first one is to accuse you that you're not who God says you are. You're not changed, you're not new, you're not fresh. And the other one is to tempt you to allow sin to have its reign. And the funny thing is, the way he does is he tempts you, and then as soon as you do it, he accuses you. As soon as you buy in, as soon as you allow sin to have control, he turns around and says, aha, see? See? You're not new. You're not different. You haven't changed. You're defeated. And he goes around, he tempts you again, and you go again. Aha. See? That's his role. That's predictable. And when you hear those thoughts, when you hear that, you say, that's not me. I'm over here. I identify with Christ who is in me. So Romans 8 verse 12, Paul says this, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you need to see that there's this other thing at war against you. There's sin at war against you. There's an evil one at war against you. And you have no obligation to do what that nature urges you to do. You don't have to. There's no power there. It's been defeated on the cross. You can choose no. You have no obligation. Well, I want to talk to you about comparison. How do you know if you've been flooded? How do you know if you're following this master of righteousness, the Spirit? If you're following the Spirit, or how do you know if you're following the sin nature, the flesh? So Paul goes through and he would say these kind of things. I put them on the boards for you. If you follow the flesh continuously urges you to follow your appetites, your desires. And he says, do this, feed on this, feed on this. But here's the thing. Have you ever had such a good breakfast that you just never needed to eat again? That's sin. Sin is an appetite. It's your flesh that says, I want to feel this. I need this. But the thing is this, it will come again. And again. And again. And again. It is never satisfied until you are destroyed. As the Bible says. You cannot satisfy an appetite. You will always get hungry again. And you will always go through the cycle and you'll feel bad as a Christian and spirit inside of you will feel grieved and you'll feel bad and you'll try again and then you'll do it again, but it won't satisfy. The Spirit, on the other hand, urges me to satisfy my soul and it can be filled. Jesus says from the inside, it will be like a spring welling up within you. It's not external. It's not something you have to do. I will fulfill you from the inside. So if you follow the Spirit, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. You will feel satisfied. Next, the flesh is always fueled by fear. It's always fueled of what might be, what could go wrong, what if the economy tanks, what if we get sick or I get ill and I can't look after myself, what if the plane crashes, what if we don't have enough money, what if this relationship never gets repaired. The what ifs, that is the flesh that's fueled by fear. The Spirit, though, will fuel you on the inside with confidence of what is. The truth and the promises of God will fuel you. And even though everything will crumble on the outside, you will have confidence on who you are. The flesh pushes me to establish my identity. The flesh will always tell you, you need to care about things. You need to impress other people. What you drive matters. What you wear matters. What you do matters. It'll always push me to be more successful and have others try to appreciate me. I'll always look for others to pat me on the back and say, well done, well done. That's the flesh. I need to puff myself up. I need to feel good about myself. The Spirit, on the other hand, causes me to rest and have peace in who God says I already am. He says, I will bring you by still waters. I will bring you to a restful place. You won't need to be driven and driven to impress people to make yourself something because in my eyes, you already are something. This flesh is always marked by worry. It's always marked by fear. And it's always followed by death. If you live according to the flesh, if you live according to that nature, if you follow those desires, if you let it have your eyes, if you let it have your mouth, if you let it have your feet, if you let it reign in your body, death will come. Destruction will come. There's nothing more that the evil one wants than to destroy everything around you. And if you choose to follow it, that's what will come. The Spirit, though, if you follow the Spirit, Paul says, you're going to have a life that is marked by peace. In the turmoil around you, you'll still have peace. You'll be marked by trust in what God says, trusting in who He says I am. And you will actually have life on the inside. Even though you die, you will live. That's the difference when you follow the flesh or you follow the Spirit. Therefore, Paul says in Romans chapter 12, in light of all this, in light of what Christ has done for you, in light of the new life that you have inside of you, in light of this battle and this struggle, in light of the fact that sin wants to tear you back to your old life, in light of this fact that you have Christ living in you who urges you to do righteousness, in light of all that, Romans chapter 12 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, I urge you in view of God's mercy, in view of what He's done for you, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Don't conform. Don't conform any longer to the old pattern, the patterns of this world, the way that your mind used to think, the way that your body used to behave. Don't conform to that anymore. Break free. You're free from that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's the key. Be transformed. Create new pathways, new thoughts. Think about what the Spirit wants, and you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to all of a sudden test. You'll be able to prove. You'll be able to see what God's desire is for you, His good and His perfect, pleasing will, when you begin to create and think about the things that God would have you think about. The battle is that sin will always want you to think, well, that's what God wants. But what I want is over here. You need to learn to say to yourself, aha, that's not me. That's not me, because I know that later I will wish that I was obedient to my true master. Sin? No. You have to start seeing sin as out there and not you. That's not me. I don't desire that. That's sin that wants me to desire that. That's not me. I desire the things of God. I have the Spirit of God living in me. Sin, you can't do that. I don't give you permission. I'm under no obligation to listen to you. I will follow the Spirit. Well, how do we do this? First of all, the bottom line is we're going to begin. We have to begin with Christ in you. You have to be reborn. You have to have life. You have to have the Spirit inside of you. If you do not have God's Spirit inside of you, you are dead and defeated already. You cannot choose. Without God's Spirit, I cannot choose. I'm done for. That's why we talked about last week. That's why Christ died for me. That's why He gave me new life, so I would be free to choose. Once I have Him inside of me, I'm free from the bondage. I'm free from the condemnation. I not only now have a new relationship with God, but I have a new relationship with sin. It's two sides. We often will talk about the other side. I now have a new relationship with God. I am no longer an enemy of His. I am a friend of His. I am a child of His. And I have a new relationship with sin. Sin is now my enemy. Sin is no longer me. What I need to do is then I need to get my mind in line with God. I need to, as Paul said, I need to renew my mind. You have pathways. You have beliefs. You have beliefs that you've held on as true. Part of growing up and becoming new in Christ is this simple concept of replacing those lies with the truth, even if you don't feel like it. You have certain beliefs that you've held true. This is what's true about parenting. But maybe God's word says this, so you need to renew your mind. You say, I no longer feel that way. I no longer think that way. I now identify with what Christ says. I used to feel this way about marriage. I used to feel this way about death. I used to think this way, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. They do that to me, I do this to them. That's how I used to think. I no longer do that. I renew my mind. I go to God's word and I say, what do I do with enemies? I love my enemies. Okay, I don't want to. I don't feel like it. I used to hit them back. But, all right, I'm going to change the way I think. I'm going to identify with Christ's mind. I'm going to renew my mind. And I'm going to follow a new master. That is a process. Because your brain automatically wants to run down the old way. And so we're constantly replacing lies with truth. There's certain things you used to believe about sex, and you have to line that up. Is that what God says? If that's not what God says, I have to replace that lie, that old thought, the old pattern, the old way of living with a new one. One of the problems I think I have, and probably you can identify with, is we just don't hate sin as much as God. God convicted me about it. Sean, the bottom line is you don't hate it as much as I do. And I have to realign my thinking. Why does God hate sin? God does not hate sin. So I used to think, oh, God wants me to do that, but I want to do this. God hates this because I don't know. He just wants me to do what he wants. No, no. God says, don't do that. That's where death reigns. You're going to die. You're going to all kinds of problems in your life. It's going to destroy your life. I have to change the way I think. God's view on that. God's view on marriage. God's view on sex. God's view on morality. God's view on how do I do life? How do I relate to people? How do I handle my anger? How do I handle this stuff? I have to say, I used to think that way. I renew my mind. I have to be in God's Word. This is what you have to understand. You and I do not have a prayer of moving ahead in our relationship with Jesus Christ if we're not in His Word. Why I gave you this verse is how does that, because you can't change the way you think if you're not inputting what he says in his word. The way we used to think has to be in line now and changed to what God thinks. And when we do that, when we truly start to change the way we think and we trust what God says is true, it's not how I feel, it's what God says that is true. When I do that, I will find I start to desire the things of God. I now believe him. I trust him. This is actually what sin does to people. I now desire to stay away from that. I believe God and what he says about this. I now desire it too. My will begins to change because I started renewing my mind. As I renew my mind, my desires for what is good. Instead of me desiring what is wrong, instead of me saying, God wants me to do that, but I desire this. When I believe what God says is true in his word, my desires will shift away from, I really want to do this, but God wants to do that, to saying, I really want to do what God wants. Because I believe what he says about that is true. And I don't want to touch that if what he says is true. It will change the desire of my heart. It'll impact my will. And eventually, the actions and the behaviors will come across differently. All of a sudden, I'll begin to act loving. I'll be more patient. I'll be more kind. I'll be more loving because of my desire is to be that way. I don't actually desire. The problem is this. What we want is we want God. I want God, okay? To bibbidi-bobbidi-boo me, the little sprinkled fairy dust, I don't know. I thought, and you thought probably the same thing, when we got baptized and became a Christian, not when he says you're a new person, that he would just rearrange my brain, all my thought patterns, all my desires, all my history, and make me align up with what he wants. Wouldn't that be awesome? Only problem is it takes away freedom of choice. He came to set us free, not to put us in new bondage. We have to choose. We get to choose. And so I need to figure out, who do I want to identify? And so what we tend to do is we walk out the door and say, I am going to act better. I am going to behave. So we come to church, we hear a great message, and we say, I'm going to go behave now. I'm going to behave better. No, I'm not going to read my Bible. No, I'm not going to renew my scriptures. No, I'm not going to figure out what God says is true. I just know I don't feel good when I do those things, so I'll just try not to do them. That is a miserable life. That's the crazy cycle. I'm going to try harder. I'm just going to try harder. I don't want to do the hard work of replacing lies with truth. I don't want to spend time in God's Word. I don't really need to know why he thinks sin is bad. I don't really need to understand why he thinks pornography is going to destroy my marriage. I don't need to know why he thinks those things. I'll just stop doing it. I'll take a shortcut. But the problem is I bypass the will and desires, and the whole time I'll still say, I know God wants me to do that, but I really still want to do this. When I shortcut allowing God to renew my mind, to change the way I think, I will constantly fight the old way of desires in my heart. I will never learn to desire the things that God desires. I'll never learn to understand why sin destroys, why he had to punish it the way he did. I will just keep trying, and I won't get anywhere. And so I would encourage you to take these verses, begin to meditate on, even if you don't necessarily understand it, and say, this is truth. Jesus, I agree with what you say in your word. This is true. It's not how I feel. It's not how I've thought before. But I want to accept it as truth, and I'm going to follow you anyways. I will not let sin tell me what is true anymore. D.L. Moody said, the Bible was not given to increase our knowledge. It was given to change our lives. You need to read the Word, meditate on the Word, put the Word in so that it can change your life. Let us pray for us today as we leave. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your Spirit is alive and well in us. Heavenly Father, we pray for your power. We thank you that you've defeated sin in us. Help us to choose. Would you empower us to know today when sin shows its head, when sin asks permission for us to do something, when sin begs and pleads us to go back to the old way of thinking, the old way of doing life, would we, by your Holy Spirit, would you help us recognize it so we can speak against it and say, no. That is not me anymore. I desire the things of you. Would you help us with that? Heavenly Father, I know for that the help is in your word. Would you draw us to your word today? May we get to know your heart. May we get to know what you say is true. That it would begin to stir and transform the way that we process our world around us. And then would you begin to create a desire so deep inside of us to live according to your Spirit? That we would look at sin and laugh and say, not a chance, that's death, destruction. No way. Would we be known as people that follow your Spirit? Would we be known as people that are able to say no to sin because of your power resides in us? Help us to identify the lies of the evil one today. When he accuses us and says, it didn't work for you, you're not new, would we recognize that and speak against him? By your power of the Holy Spirit, would you help us stand up against that and claim your truth instead? Sin is no longer our master. We are free. Free to choose to follow you. Thank you.